Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live from faith. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for believers. You know, a lot of people think of the gospel as only something that you need initially for salvation, to be saved, to come to know the Lord and to be walking in His kingdom. But, according to this, it's from faith unto faith. And the righteous shall live from, literally it says in the Greek, from faith. So we need the gospel all through our Christian walk. It is the power. Our faith in the gospel is the power for salvation. And the word salvation in the Greek, it just means, you know, deliverance from sin and its curse. Soteria means to be delivered from the sin and all the curse that goes with it. There's soteria, which is salvation, and there's soter, which is Savior, you know, the word for Savior, Jesus. Salvation is what is provided to us by the Savior, okay? Another word akin to it is save, which is sozo. And all three of these words really have a really broad, broad meaning, which means to be delivered from sin and all of the curse of the law. In other words, all of the detrimental things that have come upon us because of going astray of God, all the curse. And the gospel, and our faith in the gospel, gives us power from God, verse 16, in order to bring about that salvation in our lives, in order to complete our deliverance from not only sin, but its curse.
I'm burning again. Does this taste it or what? I'm burning again. The eyes and everything. Look, I'm saved, and Christ has cleansed me from my sin. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you... I don't mind taking the blame, but turn off those hot electronics. I have been saved. Christ has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. I don't need... I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't live in adultery. Christ has cleansed me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm through with it. I'm through.
Through the sin, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good.
But why is this burning mess coming in?
What's burning me?
I don't know, but it's some kind of electronic thing. It's the same thing at home. You start, my eyes start, it burns around your eyes start swelling up in the face.
Does that happen when you read the Bible or listen to Christian radio?
It happened at home. I wasn't even, they had nothing on.
Well?
It happened since they put that new transformer out there. That's how it's getting in. I put a new transformer. It's coming through the power lines. And it just burns like wildfire. Christ has cleansed me. I don't know why they're doing this. I can't imagine. In fact, it's been so long, I can't even remember. I don't even know what's going on half the time, you know?
Well, you know, the Lord doesn't just cleanse you one time. He keeps on cleansing you. He keeps on
I'm not doing anything.
He keeps on delivering you from the old nature.
All right, accuser. That's enough. The Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed me from my sins. I don't need the devil accusing. The devil is trying to tell you that the Christ's blood isn't strong enough to cleanse me from my sins.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing any stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ, and He has cleansed me. Now, don't dispute His blood.
That's what I'm teaching.
From this burning
stuff.
You know
what? He's delivered you from those tormenting spirits that are talking through you right now. He's delivered you from them. He set you free from them.
Accuse.
You know that electricity that you feel, that's tormenting spirits.
That is Gulf Power Company.
No, that's tormenting spirits troubling your mind.
That is Gulf Power Company.
It's tormenting.
They got a new transformer the last couple, 3 days that it's been terrible, or more than that. It's in my head. It started hitting that on my head. My skin started burning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a transformer. It's too hot.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Jesus delivered us from the curse, so that delivers us from all or the works of the devil.
I don't curse. Even through me. I bless. I'm not Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I don't curse a Jew. I've never cursed a Jew in my life because I'd be afraid to. But I might curse a Jew's sin. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a Jew's sin needs to be cursed, but not the Jew himself, but his sin. There's a difference.
Okay, so faith in the gospel or the good news or the promises of God will deliver us from sin and its curse. And it's from faith to faith. It's not an instantaneous one-time step over the line type thing, but it's when we need faith for salvation. We're needing salvation day to day. Every day we need salvation from the works of the devil, from the curse of the law. We need soteria.
We need the law, but Christ came to deliver us from the bondage of the law. Because he knew that nobody was strong enough in their own to keep the law. Rabbis break the law. Priests break the law. Laymen break the law. We break the law seven times a day. We break the law. And he knew that we're not strong enough to keep the law.
That's right.
And so he sent Christ to cleanse us from our sins. And if we trust him and confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
Amen. And that includes everything.
That's right. And he'll keep on doing that work until he's finished the work and delivered us from all evil. Right?
And judgment, with a Christian that's already saved and has been in sin, the judgment will be on the earth. But the unsaved judgment will be after the rapture, when you stand before the great white throne of God. The Bible says that first you die and then the judgment. Mm-hmm. But what if you're already saved and you've lived in sin, since you've been saved and you haven't been cleansed from it, you don't have a daily confession or a daily cleansing or something like that, you let the sin build up in you, well, then, you know, then you'll stand before Christ for that judgment.
Sure.
But if you try to stay caught up, like they say, don't charge anything, you know, pay as you go and then you don't owe. And if you sin in your heart, well, then confess it and ask forgiveness and mean it, really mean it in your heart, and Christ forgive you for it. It says, pay as you go and then you don't owe.
Sure.
And only God himself knows if you've confessed it or not and if it's gone or not. And these accusers that keep tormenting and tormenting, it's the devil. They dispute the blood of Christ. So they say that they don't think he can cleanse you. They don't think that he, you know, that he can cleanse you from your sins. And that's what it is. I've been cleansed, and, you know.
You've been cleansed. Are you being cleansed? That's important, too, to be being cleansed.
He took my sins as far as the east are from the west.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And he said, you don't have to worry about them anymore. They're gone as far as the east. He said, you don't have to ever worry about them.
Here's a good one. He says, 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Mm-hmm. It says, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, the end result of believing the promises of God is to perfect holiness. And the word holiness is the same word as sanctification. It means separation from sin. God's work in us is to complete our separation
from sin. Do you drink coffee or tea?
Yes.
Do you think that's a sin?
Not in moderation.
I don't think it is either, but there's some religions that would slap your face for drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So you see, you've got to be so careful about this judgment business. Right. The Mormon church will think you're going to hell if you drink coffee or tea.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one. And some branches of their Pentecostals will think you're going to hell if you cut your hair. You have to be so careful with judgment.
You see who this is talking? This is Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. And Apostle Paul said, let us, meaning he's including himself, a strong Christian man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God, and he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement, all defilement. In other words, this work is not finished until God has completed separating us from sin.
Are you going to separate from your wife? Are you going to go out and break up a family and separate them?
No, we're talking about separating from sin.
Yeah, well, I wasn't called to be a nun or a monk, so I don't have to go by myself and live by myself. My sin is gone. I can get married if I want to.
Sure.
I'm not a nun or a priest. Mm-hmm. God didn't set me apart to be a nun or a priest. I can get married. My husband's dead, and I can remarry if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have to be separated, you see.
Sure can. Right. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I wanted to make that point that deliverance from sin is not a one-time thing. It's a continuous thing. As we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood cleanses us of unrighteousness and of sin. To say that it's happened to me in the past is not enough if you're not doing it now and going to do it in the future. Sanctification is an ever ongoing process. We had read before you came in, Pete, Romans 1:16-17, talking about the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe, only to those that believe. The problem is we have a lot of Christians that backslide from their believing and fall away from the promises and begin to go about trying to perfect their own righteousness. And the point is, you know, the gospel is there for us as Christians. We are given power from God when we believe the promises or the gospel, and we're given power to be separated from sin and separated from the curse of sin. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians.
What always makes it easy for me to remember too, Dave, is our belief is different from their belief a long time ago. We take our belief just like a grain of salt. Their belief was, you know, like a parachuter that jumps out of an airplane. He believes that when he pulls that cord, you know, it's going to open up. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. A lot of people say they believe,
right?
But, you know.
Well, when we get in the midst of a bad situation, hey, Dan, when we get in the midst of a bad, troubling situation, an obvious curse, that's when we need salvation. And that's when the gospel is the power of God to us if we believe it. If we believe the gospel, the good news, then in the midst of that problem, we get salvation. Too many people have really limited salvation to when they first come to Jesus, receiving a new spirit. It means here and now. We all live in this room. I'm quite sure we need salvation in different areas. We need deliverance from sin and its curse. That's what salvation means. It means, like Pete was pointing out the other day, all your needs supplied, you know. And the needs of sinners and the needs of those under the curse is to be delivered of sin and to be delivered of the curse. And that's what the good news is all about, the gospel. We're going to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians.
Right before 1 Thessalonians.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at my Bible for a long time. I lived in a country where it said you couldn't read it. And so
where did you live?
Oh, in a foreign country. And they wouldn't let you have one, wouldn't let you read it. They'd hurt you if you opened it and read it. And so I've forgotten where the thing is. I used to read it. I found it. Colossians
chapter 1 and verse 21.
Yeah.
Okay. And you, being in time past, alienated and enemies in your mind, in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So we still need the hope of the gospel, and we cannot be separated from the hope of the gospel. If we do, then the rest of this promise won't come to pass, which is being reconciled to God, which is being presented holy and without blemish and unreprovable. You know, everybody wants to be spotless and blemishless bride that Jesus is coming after.
How do you
everybody
use
said,
this? Excuse me, I'm sorry. But don't use the Bible like that on me. It makes me furious. The spotting you and all that. When you give the Word of God, give it without handling. That handling makes me furious. There's nothing that makes me so mad as somebody using God's word in a bad way to hurt somebody. It just makes me furious.
Do you suppose that maybe there's a spirit in you that doesn't like this word?
No, it comes under the wires. It comes through the wires. And it's coming through the power of the air.
Let's just bind that old spirit anyway. Okay?
We
bind
you,
spirit,
okay,
in the name of Jesus.
What we got? You've got
we do not permit you.
You've got
In the name of Jesus, to torment this lady in this Bible study. In the name of Jesus, we bind you. In Jesus' name, we do not permit you to torment this lady or torment this Bible study. In Jesus' name. Listen, leave her alone.
This is terrible.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God.
And it's that handling thing. They got to focus in on something to handle it. I don't understand that.
Let's focus in on faith.
Focus in on
the
Bible and the
faith
Word.
And the Word.
That old handling stuff is so silly.
So he says, now hath he reconciled. If you continue in the faith and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, now have you been reconciled. The word reconcile is the word katalasso, and it means to exchange. Now you have been exchanged by the death of Jesus. You have been exchanged, your righteousness or your lack of righteousness, for his righteousness. I'd like to talk a little bit about this exchange and how it's pointed out in different parts of the scripture. Because if we realize this, we can cease from our works, we can rest in God, we can have peace, knowing that we have been exchanged with Christ. Many people see their lack in Christ. They see their lack of faith, or they see their lack of patience, or they see their lack of peace. Or many times we see our lack, and we don't realize, hey, that lack's been taken care of. We should be expecting to receive God's power because of our faith in the good news of the gospel. That's what he said. The gospel is the power of God unto soteria, unto salvation, to them that believe, only to them that believe. And so we as Christians, in every instance, in every moment that we get into a situation where we're confronted with lack, or we're confronted with the curse,
Or confusion,
our faith should be exercised in the gospel, in the good news, so that the power of God comes to us and saves us. Salvation. The power of God unto salvation. Okay? So he says here, to be reconciled. If you walk in faith in the gospel, you'll be reconciled to the extent that you'll be holy and without blemish. That's what he's saying in these three verses here. Okay? And the word reconciled is exchange. For instance, let's look at a couple of other verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the gospel. The good news of what happened at the cross. And many times Christians lose sight of the good news of what happened at the cross, and they don't think that it's necessary for them right now. That was just something that they needed back then when they first came to know the Lord.
For them, that
means. Right.
I've heard that so many times.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. I want you to notice that this is all past tense, by faith. You have to separate faith and manifestation in the scriptures. And when God says something by faith through the Apostle Paul in this instance, you have to recognize it's faith. It's believing that you've received something that you don't yet see in your body. Okay? And in verse 18 he says, but all things are of God. Isn't that nice to know? Gives you peace, don't it? Sovereignty of God. All are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. In other words, he exchanged us to himself through Christ. We were exchanged, literally exchanged with Christ. Okay? And I'll go on to explain that. And gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave unto us the ministry of exchanging what Christ had with what other people have in this world, which is the curse. He gave us the ministry of leading them to Christ and causing him, through their faith, to bear away their sins. Okay? He goes on to say, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We're ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, but be ye reconciled to God. Be ye exchanged to God. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So here's the catalasso. Here's the exchange. The exchange is We received at the cross the righteousness of God. Christ received our sin. And this we ought to believe in the midst of trials and troubles and tribulations when sin rises up in us to try to overcome us. That's when your faith in the gospel is going to give you the power of God to be saved. Is when you believe that this temptation to be angry right now, you know, was taken away at the cross, and I should see it as that, and I should confess it as that. Yes, confess your sins, but then confess your salvation. That's what the scripture teaches. Confess your sins and confess your salvation. So the exchange here, in this particular instance, is righteousness for sin. He took all of our sins. You know, according to the theologians, it's your past sins. And that's not true. It's all of your sins, past, present, and future. He took away the very nature of sin that would ever cause you to sin again. He took it. He bore it on the cross. Past, present, and future. That's what baptism is all about. It's not just washing away of your past sins. It's for the washing away of your old sinful man. He dies, right? Hey, that's all sin. All the way from the beginning to the end, all of your sins were taken away at baptism by faith, right? Another verse, 1 Peter 2. I'm looking at exchanges here, right? 1 Peter chapter 2. How the exchange took place. You know? What was exchanged? You know? What was reconciled? Exchange, that's what the word means, exchange. Catalasso, exchange. 1 Peter 2. That's ever after James. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self, that's in the epistles way in the back before the book of Revelation. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sin, might live unto righteousness. There's an exchange. By whose stripes you were healed. There's another exchange. God gave us his health. Did you ever read in the scriptures where Jesus was sick? No. We were given his health. Why? Because he didn't walk in sin, right? And he knew his authority with God, right? He took authority over sickness just like he took it over sickness in other people, okay? But he exchanged what he had as a perfectly righteous man for what we had as perfectly unrighteous people. He took away our sickness and he bore it. And he gave us his health. We've been given health. Not just healing, but health. Okay? And, you know, many times you can get out of sickness by just knowing the fact that Jesus gave you health. You can tell the devil, hey, no, I don't have to accept that. I'm not under the curse. I've been set free from the curse. Jesus bore my stripes. He took away my sickness. And I've been given his health. If you know that, and your faith is not hindered by willful disobedience, right?
Or disbelief.
Or disbelief. Then you can get out of a lot of sickness, an awful lot of sickness. I've gotten out of a lot of sickness. Some of it I haven't gotten out of. Some of it was a very good trial for me to show me that the Lord heals this, and the Lord heals that, and the Lord heals this, and there ain't nothing the Lord don't heal. You know? He heals it all. But you got to believe in the gospel. Paul called it the full gospel, so that he fully preached the gospel. He did the signs and the wonders, right? Fully preached the gospel, the whole gospel. And it's an exchange. We've been given that right. The only thing that can break that right is if we get out from under the blood into willful disobedience. Otherwise, it's our right to be healed. It's our right to be healthy. In Galatians chapter 3, right before Ephesians, Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us. Redeem is a word, apoliutrosis, and it means a releasing on the payment of. He redeemed us. He bought us out. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that covers it all, really. Deuteronomy 28 covers all of the things that come against us because of sin. And any kind of sickness is covered there, any kind of curse. In our land, in our house, in our children, in our families, you know, so on and so forth, any kind of curse. We don't even recognize the curse many times because we're so used to living under it. If you would have lived out from under the curse for one day, and then you lived under the curse, you would recognize the difference, you know. Many times, many things that we don't recognize as the curse, they are the curse, you know. And the only way to find out, you know, since we have nothing to compare, is to be delivered, you know, is to recognize anything that is contrary to us, anything that comes against us because of the old life, because of the old man, because of the corrupt state of our being, you know. Anything like that is a part of the curse. And Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus became a curse. In verse 14, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham. There's the reconciliation, the katalasso, the exchange. Exchange is, he became a curse. We don't have to receive curse. He became a curse so that we could be blessed in everything, be blessed. The blessings of Abraham. That upon the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at that. You know Jesus died so that we could have the Holy Spirit? Isn't that something? It was a part of the exchange. He took away our old wicked spirit and gave us His Holy Spirit. He took away our curse and nailed it on that cross, and He gave us His blessings. But even all of this won't do you any good, even as a Christian. It won't bring about the full exchange in bringing us into that spotless, blemishless state unless we walk by faith in the gospel, unless we walk by faith in the promises of God in the midst of the trial. So many times we forget about God in the trial. So many times we forget about what Jesus has provided in the midst of the trial. We've accepted this. We've gone through it so long that we just take it as a matter of fact, you know. But many things we're not supposed to accept. It honors God. He said, from faith to faith. That's what he said. And the righteous shall live from faith. Right? And faith is believing the gospel so that we can be delivered from the curse. And it honors God to be delivered from the curse. Okay? Go back to Galatians 2 and 20. The exchange once more. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live. Those are words of faith, you know. And yet, so many times we speak as though I still live. You know what I'm talking about? We confess I is still living. But we're supposed to confess I is dead. I the old man, I the flesh, right? I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live. I'm dead, right? We're dead. We are to confess it. It doesn't matter what rises up in our soul in the midst of a trial. We are to confess it. We are dead. And we're to look at that thing and say, no, you're dead. We're to look at that lust. We're to look at that anger. We're to look at that unbelief. We're to look at that fear. You're dead. You died. Right? It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The crucifixion of the exchange once more, you know? Okay, now he said back in Colossians, if we weren't moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, I think many Christians, probably all Christians, get moved away from the hope of the gospel in one way. The same way these Galatians folks did. Okay? Go back to Galatians 1 and 6. He says, I marvel that you so quickly, removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. He marveled that they were moved away from the hope of the real gospel so quickly. You know? You know what? All across this land right now, there are doctrines that are just that. They are moving away from the hope of the gospel, the good news. I want you to notice every one of these verses that we have looked at are in the past tense. Have you ever noticed that? It's been done. It was done at Calvary. We were healed at Calvary. We were delivered from the curse at Calvary. We were given righteousness at Calvary. All of this says in the past tense. Okay? What is it to be moved away from the hope of the gospel? The faith of the gospel, which brings about the exchange. Okay? What is it? Okay? First of all, faith is believing you have received something, isn't it?
Already.
Okay? It's calling those things that be not as though they were, isn't it? Okay? That's what faith is. So, if you're not having faith in the good news, the gospel, then you're being moved away from it. Okay? Here's how you can identify any doctrine, I think, that moves you away from faith in the gospel, which delivers you, okay? Pointed out here in Galatians, they were moved away from the gospel. In verse 7 he says, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which is preached unto you, let him be anathema, or cursed, or devoted to God for destruction. That word is. Okay? No, he's talking to the Galatians here about being moved away from the hope of the gospel. Okay? Go to Galatians 3, because he really gives a good paragraph here describing what he's talking about by being moved away from the true gospel. Okay? 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified? They saw the gospel being fulfilled. Right? What would you think, you know, if you were in that day and you saw this thing happen, you know, with your own eyes? Wouldn't that be something? This only would I learn from you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, we can go back to the time when we first came to Christ, and we can see the mighty miracle God did, and he only did it for one reason, faith, okay? But a lot of people start being separated from that moment on from the hope of the gospel and from faith in the gospel. They start being separated from that moment, and they stop the exchange. And they notice that their life hasn't changed much. Some people even feel like they've backslidden, you know. Their life doesn't change much. I think the reason people's lives don't change much sometimes after they get saved is because they don't know the real gospel. And that's an easy way to get moved away from the hope of the gospel, right? And because they get into their own works, seeking to perfect what they saw they received only by faith at the very beginning, they start getting into their own works in one way or another. What is your works? See, since the gospel is designed for us to always look back, your works is always looking forward. Looking back says, it's been done, and I am to accept it as done, and I am to confess it as done. But the works of man is, we're going to do it. We're going to do it by this method. We're going to do it by that method. It's always looking forward instead of looking back. People are looking in the wrong direction. People are asking, how can I get delivered from this and how can I get delivered from that? They're looking in the wrong direction again. They should be looking back. That's when I was delivered from this and that's when I was delivered from that. It's always looking back, you see.
It's already been done. Just read about it.
It's been done. He said, this only what I learned from you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things for nothing? If it indeed be for nothing. He therefore that supplieth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Obviously by the hearing of faith. Okay. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. They that are of faith are the same, are the sons of Abraham, by the hearing of faith. By the hearing of faith, faith is what? Faith is, according to Jesus, it's believing you have received. It's the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen. It's believing you've already got something 2,000 years ago. Okay? Okay, by the hearing of faith. We received the Holy Spirit because we found out we didn't have to keep on begging Jesus for the Holy Spirit. We found out, hey, he gave us the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. It was poured out on the day of Pentecost. He never took it back. Yeah. He never took it back. This thing about works. You know, I've been really alarmed because we heard from some people in Louisiana, some good friends of ours in Louisiana. We heard from a good brother up in North Carolina, a pastor up in North Carolina that I used to teach a lot in Louisiana. And we've heard from some people over here, you know. Paul was telling us about one instance over here of some people preaching this inner healing thing, you know, of, hey, look inside yourself. See what you can see is wrong. Let's do a little, what do they call it? Psychoanalyzation, you know. Like my older sister's into. My second oldest sister is a psychoanalyst. And she's absolutely full of demons. You know. I don't know. I don't attribute all that to her education about psychoanalyzing people. She got into the rule of it through Eckhart Tolle and things like that, you know. But she's full of demons. You can't pray for her without her knowing it. And she gets mad when you do it, too. I don't care if she's over yonder. She lives over in... She's in Spain, right? Ibiza, I think, Spain. But anyway... Well, she don't appreciate it. She knows it's contrary to the spirit that's in her. And I'll tell you what. Psychoanalyzation, or looking inside yourself to see how you can fix yourself, is just as contrary to the spirit of God is another gospel. Because that's exactly what it is. It's another gospel. It's looking forward instead of looking back. It's saying, how can we fix? Instead of, hey, I'm already fixed. Praise God, I'm set free. You know, the Lord delivered me.
That makes Calvary null and void.
Well, it's like we were saying a while back. If you believe the scripture, by his stripes you were healed, then what are you doing trying to heal yourself? What are you doing trying to make it, you know, what are all these efforts? All these efforts are another gospel.
You don't need Christian counseling, though, do you? If it's the same thing.
Christian counseling is not psychoanalyzation.
Well,
the Bible says,
though. You can't read the Bible without getting Christian counseling.
No. Okay.
Fire clinic home.
Yeah. That kind of stuff. Or even where I know a friend who goes to this because they have cancer, because they had an alcoholic problem or a marital problem. Now, if that's all dead, why do you have to go for that?
Well,
you just go for Bible?
To some extent, you're right, because you don't counsel somebody that's got alcohol. If they've repented, you cast the demon out, and that's the end of it. It's so simple.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not works. It's not your work.
They're saying there's still, you know, there's still lingering there.
Rehabilitation is what they're trying to get to.
They're still trying, you know. Obviously, you're still going to have a problem 6 months down the road. So they're not really,
see, that's not faith. That is not teaching someone the gospel. This is the best Christian counseling you can get. Right. I understand. Well, that means different things to different people. Christian counseling. Christian counseling is this. This is Christian counseling, you see.
What you're doing right now is really Christian counseling.
Yeah, that's Christian counseling. Because Christian counseling is going to point you to what Christ has already done, not what you need to do for yourself, and not what other people's wisdom can do for you. God did not choose the wisdom of the world or the mighty. Why did he make it something that was already done? So that it would exclude your wisdom, your might, your ingenuity. Everything that comes from you is excluded because he's already done it. So it just cuts you out of the picture entirely. It's a free gift of righteousness, Romans 5 says. A free gift. If you've got to be ingenious, if you've got to be wise or mighty or very understanding, then it's not a free gift, and it's not equally free to all men. Suppose I'm more ignorant than the next fellow, you know? Suppose I'm weaker than the next fellow. Hey, it don't make any difference. In fact, if you're weaker and more ignorant, sometimes you're more liable to get the gospel. Yeah?
It's easier. Less to chisel through, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay? So sometimes, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, for those of you who never thought about this, he says, behold your calling, brother, not many wise after the flesh, 1 and 26, 1 Corinthians 1:26, Not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble or called, but God chose the foolish of the world that he might put to shame them that are wise. Didn't Jesus do that when he chose them disciples?
They chose me, shouldn't he, after one?
Yeah, any of us, really. Yeah. Well, really, you know, I was probably the most ignorant in my family, really. My sisters were all brilliant, you know, doctors.
Rocket science.
Yeah, and here I am, you know, dragging up the rear, you know. But anyway, they didn't accept the gospel, but I did. Thank God for my worldly foolishness, yeah. I mean, I was just foolish enough to know I needed him. They're so wise, they don't need
us. Right.
See, that's the problem.
It's like if you've ever tried to help somebody that's been real involved in the church and they've got all those religion down pat, it's so hard to bring them out of that. You know, only by faith can you bring them out of that. But if you get a babe, you can teach them. You know, somebody that doesn't know nothing.
Like a Bourbon Street pastor. He went on the highways and hedges and got them.
Yeah.
The bars.
Bob Herring.
Republicans and sinners, and they called him a wine bibber because he preached the gospel to the Republicans and sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Went out in the highways and hedges and called them in.
That's right.
Yeah, I was thinking about Bob Harrington, the Bourbon Street preacher. He went right in the bars and gave him tracts and told them about Jesus. Saved a lot of them, too.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Well, you know.
He wasn't too good to go try to get them, you know. That was...
What does it mean to be weak? You know, if he chose the weak thing, it's weak to do it yourself. It's weak to be your own savior. It's weak to be your own wisdom, so to speak, you know. Paul in 2 Corinthians said he chose being weak. 2 Corinthians 12. It was wise for him to be weak. Verse 9, the Lord said unto him, he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power comes to those that are weak. You say, well, Dave, didn't the scripture say in Philippians 4 and 13 that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us?
Yeah.
But here he's telling us to be weak, but yet the scripture says we're strong. We're weak, but we're strong. We're weak to do it ourselves, but our strength comes from God. Who does God give strength to? Who does the scripture say God gives strength to? Huh? Look in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Look in Isaiah 40. This is who God gives strength to.
Surely not the ones that think they can do it on their own.
The reason some people don't get strength is because he only gives strength to some people. Verse 29. Isaiah 40 and 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to him that hath no might, he increases strength. So that's the key. Paul gloried in his weakness, in his inability to save himself in the situation, right? He gloried in that. And God said, my power is made perfect only in weakness. Only if you're weak will God's power be strong in you. Only if you will deny yourself and your ability will God's power be strong in you. So he gives might to the weak, right? Even youths shall faint and be weary, verse 30. Youths are people who are strong, right? Normally speaking, they're strong in themselves. You know, they are vigorous. They can run all day, run you into the ground, right? They'll faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. God gives strength to those who are weak, those that will wait. What does it mean? To wait and be weak. Okay? You don't want to get that straight, Dave. To wait and be weak. Well, if you wait, when you get yourself in a circumstance, if you wait on God, you're being weak because you're not taking care of it yourself. We've been trained to take care of it ourselves. And we are quick to jump out there. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children. What kind of rebellion are we talking about? Them that are strong in themselves. That's the kind of rebellion. Obstinate children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that make a league but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You know, your strength, your righteousness, all that is just add more sin to your old sins. That's all it is. That set out to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to take refuge in the shadow of Egypt. You know, the strength of Pharaoh is the strength of the old man. Isaiah 30 in verse 2. And in verse 7 it says, for Egypt helpeth in vain. You know, you can go through a trial and in your own strength seemingly solve the problem. But you've really done nothing, because the strength of Egypt only helps in vain. It means for nothing. It means you didn't conquer, you didn't overcome. It means you got to go through that trial again because you didn't go through it right, you know. And you didn't gain the faith and the victory because you didn't do it right.
When they say the strength of Egypt, also the strength of the world or the world's
system. Right. The worldly way of doing things, right. The way we've been trained, really, from birth up to do things, you know. And the way the religious system tells you to do things, okay? Like the religious system is, I mean, falling from east to west into this inner healing movement. That is it. That's exactly what the strength of Egypt is all about. That is nothing but psychiatry. That's all that is, the strength of man. It's nothing but the worldly people have been doing that for years. They're borrowing from the worldly people because they never saw the gospel work. And they never saw the gospel work because they weren't taught the gospel and they didn't teach the gospel. If you teach the gospel and are taught the gospel, it works. It's powerful. It's the power of God unto salvation. Why are they reverting back to these things? Why are these preachers reverting back to inner healing and psychoanalysis? Why?
Their gospel isn't working.
Well, obviously they're not preachers sent by God. You know, nobody sent by God who's seen the gospel work and knows the real gospel is going to fall into man's works. You know?
That's not plan B.
Number two, why do they say nowadays, now, these days, God heals using doctors? Wait a minute now. When in the early church, when God dispensed his deliverance from the curse, his blessings, did he choose the lost world to do it, or did he choose the church to do it? In 1 Corinthians 12, the dispensers of his blessing or his salvation was the church. Each one of them were specialists in their own field to dispense salvation or deliverance from the curse. It was saved people. Now, all of a sudden, God uses the lost people to dispense deliverance from the curse, which is healing. Now, God uses doctors. See, again, the scriptures are past tense, so that anything you do from looking forward instead of looking back in order to get healing proves that your works is trusting in the strength of Egypt. Cursed is the man that trusts in the arm of the flesh. All right? Well, you can condemn people into doing something that will get them hurt. That is true. But everybody who trusts in the arm of the flesh are still living under the curse. Because the Bible can't be broken. What is it? Jeremiah 17 says that. Cursed is the man. The trust in the arm of the flesh. In other words, you're still living under the curse. You have not entered into the rest. You have not understood the gospel, and you have been separated from the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. See, the problem is we get separated from believing the gospel through unbelief, through fear, through whatever. Back, I don't know, must have been 10 years ago, I was in a motorcycle wreck, and when I landed on the concrete and busted that tooth, it shattered it all up in the gum here. It didn't just bust it down here, it shattered it all up in the gum. And boy, I tell you, I think the next day or a few days after that, we was in the house and everybody was eating some ice cream, and I took some ice cream. Boy, it hit me so hard, I thought I was going to die. I mean, I literally fainted, and I was almost falling. I staggered into the bedroom and I cried out to the Lord, and the pain left that moment, and it was just like a root canal had been done. I never had another lick of pain in that tooth since. And it was, actually, you could feel the tooth broken all up in the gum.
It's growing. Look at it. It's growing.
See.
Getting longer.
You know, somebody say, you believe in healing, Dave, but look at that tooth right there. Well, look, the Lord spilled two of my teeth. And I'm going to tell you why this is still like this. It's healed. I'm going to tell you it's healed because, it's not healed because I say so. It's healed because the Bible says so. Okay? Now, why is it still like that? You know, the Bible says if you sin willfully, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. We talked about that. How that you're going to undergo a punishment when you walk in willful rebellion. That's how I got this. I walked against God. God warned me several times. You obey the speed limit. You obey the speed limit. I fudged on that speed limit. And I kept seeing even a vision in my mind. In the way back in my mind, I saw this vision of about to hit this car. You know, and laying and standing up on the motorcycle, you know, and hitting that car and flying over. I saw that vision three times in my mind, you know, and sure enough, it's exactly what happened. I hit this car. I mean, the car turned sideways in front of me on an overpass, and I was programmed in my mind to stand up, and I stood up and I buried that bike up in that car and flew over it and landed up on that overpass.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
It was beautiful, man. I flew. I didn't know nothing to hit the ground. And I hit the ground, and the Holy Spirit was all over me. The Holy Spirit was on me so strong. I was just worshiping and praising the Lord. People driving around me, laying on the concrete, and they were just looking at me like, "Guys, the brain's been knocked out of him or something, you know?" I was praising and worshiping the Lord. It was just all over me. I could feel the worship of the Lord. And I broke my arm. The Lord healed my arm. But he left me with something. He showed everybody, and warned everybody, listen, I don't care if it's just fudging my 5 miles an hour on the speed limit. Because that's what I was doing. I'd say, Lord, even the police would let you go 5 miles an hour. They let you go.
That's what I've always been told now.
But I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord tells you, the Bible says, be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The Lord wants people to see you as an obedient servant. The Lord wants people to see you being obedient to the laws of the land. And that's the scriptures, okay? If you're not doing it, you need to do it. Well, anyway, he gave me a whipping. And you know what? He don't have to take that whipping off you until he's through. He don't have to take that away until he's through. David, the sword didn't depart from David's house because he sinned with Bathsheba. He sinned willfully, the King David. When he sinned with Bathsheba, and the Lord, he said, yeah, I put away your sin. You're forgiven. He said, but the sword's not going to depart from your house. In other words, you're going to go on getting a whipping for a while, boy. You know? And that's the truth.
Generations down, too.
Sure.
A restriction in
there. Yeah.
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 Well, it's kind of like
if he gave him a sin, he paid for his sin, but he still wouldn't take the sword from his house.
That's right. That's what he said.
But it didn't make him, he can't say, I didn't sin and I'm righteous because he did sin.
Right, he did.
That's good. He still has
and the Lord forgave him. That's the wonderful thing, you know. When it says there's no more sacrifice, it's not talking about you won't get forgiveness. It's talking about he didn't take the punishment because that's what the stripes are for. They're the punishment for your sins. He took the punishment for your sins so that you didn't have to be punished.
You know, you have two political systems in Israel, and you got Davids on both sides. You know that, don't you? And they disagree with each other sometimes. They're both Davids, and some of them philosophy is just a little bit different on them. Some of the actions that they do, and some of them are more Zionist and more militant, and others are more like Orthodox, you know, traditional Orthodox, and some are more Zionist people.
And they still do Molotov.
Well, it doesn't mean they're any less. It doesn't mean they're any less spiritual, but they're in different tribes and different tribes. Yeah. Well, anyway, some are more militant, and some are more into the study of the Word, and some are more militant. And there's some Davids in the real militant, and there's some Davids in the Bible study, you know, and there's some Sauls, you know, and some Sauls too, but it's, and some of them might say they're from the house of David, or there might be, you know, the Egyptian house of David, or there might be the other house of David, you know, and there might be Jewish Davids. There's all kind of Davids. But, I lost my, that was bad news because I lost my train of thought.
Well,
I had something to say. I got something
in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about the rest. How do you get rest? You get rest because you're not allowing yourself to be separated from the good news. You know, you're holding on by faith to the good news. And so what? You rest from your works. If you believe the scriptures in any point, it will exclude your works. That's what the rest is all about. That's what ceasing from your works is all about. If you believe, you will rest. And you will be weak. You will cease from doing your methods, inner healing, your methods, which are trusting in man in any way, you know, you will cease. You know, you don't have to try to be healthy. I know a lot of you are into that, and I, you know, don't rebuke anybody for that. But you don't have to try to be healthy if you already found out that Jesus made you healthy. Now, if you believe the gospel, you're going to believe that Jesus made you healthy. You don't have to try to make yourself healthy. You don't have to work to be healthy. That's not the rest. That's not ceasing from your works. No. You know what pharmacia was back in those days when they were talking about it? It was witchcraft, but the word was pharmakia. You know, they didn't have a lot of man-made chemicals back in those days. Mostly what they did is dispense a lot of vitamins, you know, natural vitamins, you know.
Herbs,
things like that.
Yeah. Their friend loves their herbs now.
Their witch doctrine. Their witch doctrine that he's talking about in the scriptures is witch doctrine back there with the natural stuff.
Natural healing.
Trying to make yourself healthy, looking forward instead of looking back. Hey, that was the witch doctrine he's talking about. Much more today, the man-made chemicals, you know. One of them is not a bit better than the other one. I'm going to tell you why. It's because both of them are looking forward instead of looking back. If you accept what he did at Calvary, which is give you his health, you're not going to settle for some man-made health that you can get because you're not resting. See? What is to rest? To rest is to believe the gospel. When you believe the gospel, boy, it takes the load off your back. I don't have to worry about trying to be healthy. I don't have to worry about trying to witch doctor myself. That's God's money. That's not your money. That's God's money.
He already healed you. That money can go to
That's witch doctrine. Why is rebellion is the sin of witchcraft? Why is rebellion as the sin of witchcraft? It's rebellion to not believe the gospel and to go about your own works trying to get yourself healthy and healed. That's rebellion, and it's witchcraft.
But in Psalms, it does mention herbs and how they're good. You know, could that mean like just eating them with dinner or something?
Watch. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, they said, don't be partakers of these unclean animals. And we've discovered here what he's talking about in the New Testament. You know, we've discovered, hey, it's being protectors of people because we got that revelation. When the sheep was let down out of heaven and all the unclean animals and so on and so forth. And he said, rise and eat. But God said, what I have made clean. Now, you can at least say in the New Testament that through faith and through being a New Testament believer based on a covenant, better covenant based on better promises.
Yeah,
you can at least believe that what God said there is true, that he has made it clean. Mm-hmm. Not because it's naturally clean, but because it's all good and to be received with thanksgiving when it's sanctified through the word of God in prayer. It's all good. If they tell you it's bad, they're talking against the gospel. It's all good. I don't care what kind of pork they put on your table. I don't care what they put there. You bless it and you believe it. Because it's sanctified through the word of God in prayer. I'm not talking about marijuana and tempting God and all that. I'm talking about, you know, because the marijuana people say that. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if what you get to eat, you know, like us sometimes. Sometimes we eat what we get. So that's what we eat. And we bless it and we eat it and we give thanks to God and he blesses that food. And you know what? That food is sanctified. It's going to make us healthy. It is sanctified. Anything, you know, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, Jesus said. It's what comes out that defiles him. It's like the rudder of a ship, this mouth. When you agree with the gospel, you bind the devil and you loose God's blessings. Okay? It's like the rudder of the ship. It'll turn the whole ship around. James said. It's like the flaps on an airplane. I'm sure if James would have had an airplane, he'd have made that one too. It'll make it go up. It'll make it go down. Your tongue will make you go up, it'll make you go down. Your tongue can agree with the gospel and bring blessings into your life, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. We've got to agree with the gospel, you know, because faith without works is dead. If a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, what does he get, according to Romans? Salvation. What is that? Delivered from the curse. Delivered. Healed. Set free. Whatever. It means
all the nutrients out of the food that it's supposed to be without supplement modeling.
Right.
So
it's what we say, not what we eat. Don't think you're going to make yourself, I tell you what, you're going to fail. I mean, with all those guys, they've even proven some of those vitamins you put in there will make you deathly sick. And they'll overcome your kidneys in some cases. And they'll give you problems down the road in some cases. You don't know what you're doing with these natural things. Yeah, there's lots of natural things out there that kill you dead.
And that's off the market like that, you know?
Yeah, and they don't. When do they find out about it? Oh, after you've been taking it for 40 years.
Yeah, we didn't know about it after you already done the damage. Yeah.
Yeah.
After you've been taking it for 40 years.
But you have faith to go to the store, buy this with hard-earned money, look and say, "Oh, that's good. I trust that," and throw it in your system. You know, you have to have faith in something. I had faith in the dentist. Mm. I had faith in the Lord, but I had more faith in the dentist. That's why I doodled down there and plopped some cash up and said, "Do what you want," and tilted my head back. I threw myself with his mercy. Woo. Why didn't I throw myself with the mercy of the cross? I got
separated from the gospel. That's what we're talking about, you know, separated from God. And we all do it in some cases, in some ways, and whatever. What we're doing, we're striving to be better. I mean, we're not condemning ourselves for our failures. We're striving to be better.
Yeah.
If we study the Word, it'll help us to be better in the future, you know. We're not condemning anybody for the past. You know, we've all failed.
They're happy in the future.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's people that are vitaminaholics, and when they stop taking all that stuff, they start getting healthier. And it ain't got nothing to do with supernatural.
Well,
it's because you can't put all that garbage in your body. I mean, I don't care if it's natural. You can't put all that stuff in your body and get it. You know something? They may say, look, they may say, this is natural. They may say, yeah, but it's not ceasing from your works.
Yeah.
See, if you cease from your works, God pronounces a curse upon those who will not cease from their works. And he tells them they're not going to receive salvation. He says, why? Because the word of God, when it was given to those Jews, didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. But there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God to cease from our works. What causes us to cease from our works? When we believe that I'm already healthy. Jesus gave me health. Now that's words of faith. We need to speak words of faith. That's better than any pill you can pop in your mouth. Jesus made me healthy. He catalyzed me. He exchanged his health for my curse. Okay? He exchanged it. He gave me his health. Look, they may say that these pills are natural.
Yeah,
but it ain't natural to take those pills. You know why it ain't natural to take those pills? Because that's an awful lot of the natural stuff that would take you an awful long time to get it normally. Okay? Your body ain't made to take that. I don't care what they say. Look, back when I was in the world, I'll give you a good example. Back when I was in the world, they used to shoot me. I had lung problems and chest problems and sinus problems. And continuously, I inherited it from my daddy because he had, you know, whenever I got a cold, boy, it would like to kill me, just go through my whole system. You know? And they would shoot me full of penicillin till penicillin wouldn't work no more. You know?
Yeah.
And so somebody said, take vitamin C. So I'd go get these 500 milligrams of vitamin C and pop them. And you know what? It did me twice as good. All that penicillin did, that 500 and kill. And one day somebody told me, says, yeah, but you know, you're destroying your kidneys with that 500 milligrams of vitamin C. Vitamin C is destructive to your kidneys. So I wouldn't want that trade-off with you. You know what happened to me after that? When I discovered that Jesus was my healer, and I packed around one of them bottles to spray up my nose all the time, year round, I had one of them in my pocket. Because my daddy did the same thing, walked around with that bottle. My sinuses were continually closed in on me. And when I threw that thing away, the first day I threw it away, my nostrils opened up, and I've had colds since then. But from that day to this, that's been almost 20 years, my nostrils have not closed up. And I'll tell you what, that beats any vitamin C. I threw that bottle down one time by faith. Oh, if Jesus healed me, I don't need this. Threw it down, and that was the end of it. Look, I've had colds. I've had terrible colds. Not many of them, but I've had some terrible colds. And my nose ain't stopped up.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, Because God honors that faith. Boy, I tell you, that's the kind of salvation you need. Get it and get it over with. You know? But I could have still been packing that Bible. I could have still been trusting in my own strength and I'd be living under the curse. Cursed is the man that trusts in the arm of the flesh. I'd still be living under that curse. You know what? And you know I'm not condemning anybody here. Well, the Lord is not going to disagree with the Scriptures. Okay? I'm just going to say this for your benefit. The Lord is going to agree with the Scriptures. The Lord, if He's going to tell you something, He's going to tell you what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you're healed. And He's always going to try to convince you that you are healed. He's not going to try to show you how to heal yourself. He's going to try to convince you that you're healed. Why? Because it's by grace and not by works.
Could I read that verse?
If it's by works, then the Lord will say, okay, you need to go to this doctor.
Or
you need
it
to
all
go
in here, what we need.
Yeah.
So.
God is not a schizophrenic. He's not one moment going to tell you to go do your own works so that you can be healed or saved or delivered or whatever, and then turn around and tell you, no, it's not, salvation is not by works. It's by faith. Hey, there is no other method for God, and He's not going to speak anything else. If He does, then that's not God speaking.
Same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Right. So people make mistakes about what they think God tells them. But I'll tell you what, the devil is always there to separate you from the hope of the gospel. And if you can do it by deceit, he'll do it. And what is deceit but getting you into your own works, your own ingenuity, your own wisdom, and how to figure this health out. And you know what? According to the natural, let's just look at this on a natural level. There's a natural level and there's a supernatural level. On the natural level, of those that are under the curse, okay, there is better ways and worse ways, okay? Let me put it that way, okay? But when you go up above that to where we're not under the curse, it excludes everything below it. There might be better. Look. For people who are under the curse, yeah, don't eat a lot of pork because it's not good for you. Hey, but that ain't talking about me. You know why? Because I'm not down there. I'm up here. I'm out from under the curse. The curse is under me. The reason I don't have to worry about pork is because Jesus said that it's clean. And what I have made clean, you better not make unclean, He said. He said that. The word sanctified, when it's applied to your life, it means separated from sin. Separated from the curse. That's what sanctified means. When you're sanctified, you're separated from sin, from the curse. Okay? Hey, if it's talking about food, it's got to mean it's separated from the curse. You know? When you pray over it and you believe God, this is for believers now. This is not for anybody else. I don't even care if you're a Christian. It's got to be believers, right? It's believing prayer that sanctifies that food. If you still believe in your mind that you shouldn't really eat pork because it's really not good for you, then you better not eat it. Because you're not really walking by faith anyway, right? So, but if you believe it, and you believe that the cross, Jesus gave you His health. Let me tell you something. Think about what them Jews ate, by the way. A lot of people wouldn't consider that a very healthy diet. Sometimes there wasn't enough protein in that to stick in your eye, you know? Keep you alive, hardly, you know, in some of the foods that they ate. Well, when you're lust. Okay, that's another thing. When you're lust drives you to eat an unbalanced anything.
Anything
it drives
unbalanced.
You. Anything that you go to because of lust is going to be cursed, right?
Strange.
Okay. Anything that you run to because of lust is cursed. But it's not talking about the type of food that you eat. You don't know.
It's a strange craving. It's got to have it.
See, well, Mary and I, years ago when we first came into Christianity, we got in this health food kick, and I really thank God we did it because it changed our eating habits. Not that I believe in a health food kick anymore. I don't believe in it no more because I discovered the truth, okay? But look, it changed our eating habits. We don't bring a lot of cakes and candies home, fruitless things that your lusts run after anymore. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now it's the staples, you know, meat and potatoes, you know, that's what we want. Yeah, I like natural foods. I'm not, you know, I like it better than man's made desserts. I think they're good for you, they're designed for you, and so on and so forth. Naturally speaking, I'm not talking about supernatural, I'm talking about on the natural level, they're designed for your body. I mean, there ain't no better dessert than what the Lord hangs on trees, really, you know. And the sweetness that's in there, even the sugar that's in it is a better kind of sugar for your body, and it can be digested, and it's just good for you.
Not me, I'm a carnivore. I'm not a herbivore.
Why do we pray for a certain thing? Why do we pray for deliverance or pray for a healing or pray for deliverance from a sin or a lust or whatever? We only do that for one reason. We do it as a point of releasing our faith to agree with the gospel. That's what we're doing. We're only agreeing with what the Bible already says is true. The Bible already says you're healed. And when we pray, it's a point of releasing your faith. Because we're so general. We think, oh, God will heal me someday. You know, I'll get healed sooner or later. No, that's not what the Lord wants you to agree with. He wants you to agree with the gospel that you were already healed. And He wants you to stand firm on that. You know? And calling for the elders is only for one reason. So that you can pick a point to release your faith along with their faith, and your combined faith gets the job done. You know, that's what it's for. It's still just agreeing with the gospel. You say, well, if I agree with the gospel that I was healed, why call for the elders? Well, sometimes we don't call for the elders. You know, I quite often don't call for the elders, you know, but the Lord still does it because I agree with the gospel. But it's a place to release your faith and agree with what's already been done. That's the whole point. And that's the important thing about it. You know? But it's still trusting in what's already been done, not what's going to be done. You know, I like this woman that I ran into that was a preacher over in Louisiana, and she had gone around to all the faith healers, and she'd gotten prayed over by all of them. Great men of faith, you know, had signs and wonders, you know, and she'd gone around and got prayed for all of them. She had two tumors in her chest, big old tumors. And she said, David, you know, and she was asking me about it. She said, David, she said, I just don't understand. I've been prayed and prayed, and I've been prayed for by this guy and this guy and this guy, named all the famous preachers, gone all around the country and got prayed for by all these famous preachers, you know. I said, you've done everything but believe the gospel. I said, you never have yet walked by faith and not by sight. When they prayed for you and you didn't see the healing, you walked by sight instead of by faith. I said, what you got to do is agree with what the Bible says. Now look, let me show you what the Bible says. And I got to show her what the Bible says, and I saw a light bulb turn on in her head, you know, just like that. I was looking at her eyes and it lit up, you know. And I said, okay, you're ready, you know. And I said, okay, we're going to pray one more time, and this is going to be the last time, and you are healed. We're going to agree, you are healed. Pray for, and she was instantly healed, delivered right there, right in front of my eyes, you know, she was completely healed. Well, it's the first time she ever had her faith in the gospel instead of some man in the future and looking in the wrong direction. So many people that want to be healed want to be healed instead of thank God that they are healed. You know, they're looking in the wrong direction. It's the same. It's not the gospel.
Man says seeing is believing, and God says believing is seeing.
Why? And why does He do that? He does it very simply to exclude your works. Because if you think it's future, then there's something you can do, you know. But if it's already done, and you agree that it's already done, and you're agreeing with the Bible that it's already done, then you can't do anything. Or you're going to prove you didn't believe. You see, you're going to give proof that you didn't believe. You see. So He designed it that way on purpose. That's why the gospel is, that's why it's by grace and not by works. No, he did it that way on purpose.
Your works can really weary you because my works can
weary
you.
Oh, it is not the rest.
From this,
what does He say?
40 minutes,
what does He say in Isaiah 40? He's not going to give you strength until you run out of steam. When you run out of steam, when the youth gets weary, when we get to the end of our rope and you just wait on the Lord, then He's going to cause you to mount up with wings as an eagle.
Amen.
You got to give up. Get to that point. You got to give up. So many people don't give up. They don't give up. They're strong, you know.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about, you know, if we're not raptured out of here, you know, before things get bad on, things are bad on the earth now. And we've been promised that we'll be raptured out of here before all things happen. But it could be a prelude. We could, in our time, could experience a lot of prelude of real bad things, you know, before. You know, it could be like a snowball. The more you roll it, the bigger it gets, you know. And it wouldn't hurt us now to try to think of ways to save us from pain and everything, you know, during these times. The electronic things coming out of the air that cause such pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we're promised that we won't be here when it happens, but it could be like a prelude to it. We could get a foretaste of some of these electronic things that hurt and burn and hurt you so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, it wouldn't hurt to be kind of get prepared for some of that in case we get a taste of it before the rapture. You know, we don't know. But one thing that they did say was metal, and gold and silver, and your teeth is conductor of metal, mm-hmm. conductor of pain. Mm-hmm. And if it gets worse and worse, you don't know what you got in your mouth, and you know. So that's just one thing to think about. And they might be able to put other stuff in your mouth that won't cause so much pain. See, that conducts metal, mm-hmm. gold and silver. And when you got all these electronic things shooting at you, it could cause excruciating pain with that stuff in your mouth.
But remember, we have to have the armor of righteousness to stop those fiery darts coming.
That's right.
We have to have breastplate and Psalms 37 plainly says, mm-hmm. you know, that what gets shot against us will be turned around and go right back to this.
Well, maybe they can invent some kind of material to fill your teeth that won't draw electricity.
Jesus invented it. He invented it. You know what it is?
No, what
it's
is
tooth.
It?
Don't ever ask God for a filling. Ask Him to heal the tooth.
Oh, they took mine out. They took the one with gold in them and also hit me in the head several times.
They hit you in the head?
Getting the crown and your teeth. And you know, they say you're going to get your crown, get your gold and your teeth and the gold on your head. Well, they worked those out with their computers. And they got the gold out and they took my
at least they didn't hit you with the computer,
they took, huh? They took that root canal out.
Yeah.
And they started hitting me on the head. Now these are just rotting away. But you got to.
That's the anesthesia they use? They hit you on the head?
No, I went to the wrong dentist.
I guarantee you went to the wrong dentist.
Well, I've been going to the same one all my life and they refused to help me. And what? I was in pain and they wouldn't help me. They refused to help me.
I
went to somebody else and they took
the
whole works out.
There's a dentist in town that's a carpenter. He's the best.
I went to the same dentist all my life and they refused to help me time and time again. And I needed help. And I went over, I've got to help. And they said, we can't help you. So I went to another dentist and they just took the root canal out. So I'll be helping somebody else now, I guess, instead of him, because he won't help me. He refused to help me.
Dr. Jesus, he'll always help you.
Yeah.
He'll always help
you.
Thank God for the gospel. He healed you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
He healed even your teeth. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
2,000 years ago, he healed your teeth.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Well, I wish I could get some kind of new material to make them out of. It wouldn't be a conductor of electricity. They ought to come up with something. Some new material that wouldn't, it's like
Jesus,
a magnet that drops. Now, that can cause pain, you know,
faith
really.
Faith in Jesus can make it where no matter what you have in your mouth, the Lord's going to take
We're talking about electronic warfare. If we're here on the earth when the tribulation starts.
Jesus is much more powerful than that.
We're not supposed to be here, but it could be a prelude to it.
You know, Isaiah 53 says he bore your pains. He took those pains 2,000 years ago, took all your pain away. You know what we do?
And that's old timey stubbing your toe when they walk down a cobblestone road.
Anything. He would take your pain away.
The same as yesterday, today, and forever.
Tammy had an example of that several weeks ago. We prayed for her, and she had four of her wisdom teeth pulled out, and the Lord took her pain away right
same
there.
Thing.
The moment we prayed
is
for her.
Is that right?
She was instantaneous.
Did she get a partial plate back in
there? No, she just had her wisdom teeth pulled.
Lots of sweet teeth going on like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to chew. It doesn't matter. What good does it do if you don't have any pain if you don't have any teeth anyway? But that same doctor, dentist, I thought the world of him. I've been going to him all the time. Only dentist I ever went to in my life. Really? No, maybe a couple when I was real young. And they refused to help me time and time again. And I was getting toothaches and everything. And I went to this dentist over here and they wouldn't let me in. I went through three or four times.
I wouldn't go to no dentist.
I was in pain.
Going back to them.
And my teeth were loose.
Going back to hitting you on the head. I mean, today they used ether and stuff like that. You know, hitting you on the head, that's kind of rough.
Is that a long time ago?
Huh?
No,
one of them said, I'm Mrs. Smith. And she said, if you come back in here again, she said, I'm going to have a call the cops and have you arrested. That was at the Fairfield Dental Clinic. She said, I said, I don't know a Mrs. Smith, but I'm just telling you that I need a dentist. I've been all around trying to get an appointment. I mean, they were ugly. I don't even know which Mrs. Smith they were talking about.
Are you Mrs. Smith?
No.
Just
taking it in. No. Yeah, but I lost my teeth because of that nonsense. I'm sorry we can't help you. That was so silly. I said, which Mrs. Smith are you talking about? I know thousands of Smiths.
Well, when you trust in man, and when you trust in the arm of the flesh, thank
you. You can't pull your own teeth to get a toothache, could you?
I trusted in the arm of the flesh, and my teeth are still hurt right now. The Lord showed me. He showed me that...
If you had appendicitis, could you cut your own skin, take your own appendix out? I mean, could you take your own teeth out?
You know what?
Check your own eyes?
It says, by his stripes, Jesus' stripes, and they beat him. They almost beat Jesus to death the night before he was put on the cross. And he said, by his wounds, we were healed. Not are, not could be, not should be, not might be. It says, we were healed, you know, and through faith.
And you wouldn't take medicine because you think that God would... God's not going to give you any pain, so you don't ever need a doctor on the earth, and you don't ever need medicine.
Well, I believe doctors may.
Well, you need it if you don't believe, right?
That's right.
You don't think that pain, you think pain is all in your head? You don't think you really have pain?
No. I believe you can really have pain, but I believe Jesus took that pain away, and if we have faith in what the scripture says, which he bore your pain, he'll take it away.
Yeah.
I mean, Tammy's a good example of that. She was
healed. He'll make you move one way or the other.
Huh?
He'll move you out one way or the other.
Just believe the gospel. The gospel is he took away your pain. I mean, if he took away the curse, he certainly took away the pain. That's where the pain comes from.
I took my root canal out that I used to work with those people, too, and they won't be hearing from me anymore.
Well, why did they call you Mrs. Smith over there?
I don't know.
You know, you told me when you came right over here just several months ago, you told us your name was Mrs. Smith.
Oh, that isn't my name. My husband left me and married another woman he was working with, and he's been gone, and I don't know. I don't even know what name to use anymore. I'm so disgusted. And the one name I used to use, they turned it back on me because they started doing that old nonsense again.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, I just
you remember I was telling you about the tongues, how that it, you know, we were talking about tongues, how that you pray according to the will of God.
He married her. He worked with her. He left me and married her.
Would you, you know, how we were talking?
I didn't even know he was married.
Miss Weatherby.
He let me sit there by myself waiting on him to come back, and he'd already married the woman he's working with. And they were just laughing at me and using my family for fools, and I didn't even know he married her. Yeah, no mess.
Would you let us pray for you?
Yeah, I sure need it.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to pray for you like we were talking about earlier. We were talking about how tongues is...